Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, he is worthy
to be glorified. He is worthy to be praised. This is the Hour of Power broadcast coming live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the preacher of the hour. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do today. I'm excited about the Word of God. The Bible said we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The Bible said it's trying to show that self-approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And today we are going to rightly divide the word of truth. Let's go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank and praise your name. God, we just thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, because of your amazing grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness, Lord God. We thank you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, because you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. We thank you, God, for being our counselor, Lord. We thank you, God, for being the everlasting God. We thank you for being the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for being sovereign, for being faithful, God. We thank you, God, for all that you are, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to your people. Thank you for paying the price 2,000 years ago, Father, for our healing, for our deliverance, God. Thank you for giving your life that we can have a right to the tree of life. And for this, God, we just thank you, God, today. Thank you, Father God, for letting us once again come before your people, Father God, for the Hour of Power broadcast, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, that they will hear, God, that rhema word. God, that they will hear that logos word. God, that they will hear, God, what you will have them to know this day and this hour. And for this, God, we'll forever bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We are coming today from the Old Testament. We're coming from 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, and we're going to begin at that first verse. And it says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that the David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Yes, it was the spring of the year when the kings normally go out to war. David had sent Joab and the Israelites to fight the Ammonites. And then we find that when they had destroyed the Ammonite army, that they seized the city of Rabbah. And we see that David didn't go with them, but David had stayed behind in Jerusalem. And when we look at that New Living Translation, we see there in the second verse, it says, late afternoon. It was in the afternoon. It was after his midday rest that David had got out of bed, and he was walking on the roof of his palace. And as he walked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. Now, David, as you know before, as the Lord has already shown us, that David didn't go with the army, with the Israelites, in order to fight. He had sent Joab, and he had decided that he would stay. And then we find here in the late afternoon, David had got up out of his bed and began to walk on the roof of the palace. And after he walked on the roof of the palace, he had looked over the city. You know how you're going to look over different areas. You may be in Jacksonville, Florida, New York, or wherever you may be, but if you're on a high place, you may own a rooftop, but you may be just driving, and you see the sight around you, the things that around you. So David, he just not just seeing the things that was around him, but he noticed that a woman, and when he seen this woman, he seen that she had unusual beauty. And not only was she beautiful, but this woman was taken aback. So we find here that the Bible let us know that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have to make sure, what we, our motives are, and what we are looking at. We have to make sure that our eyes are holy and that every part of us is holy. So when David seen the view, when he seen this woman, the woman was so beautiful, and not only that, as we said, the woman was taken aback. And then that wasn't enough that he seen the beauty of him. Usually when a man of God would turn his head and he'll go by his way, and that he wouldn't entertain himself by looking at this woman. And we find that when he began to look at this woman, a desire came into his heart. You know, you have to look and you have to make sure that your heart and your mind and your soul and your spirit is right with God, because there are things that are around you that will get your attention if you don't stay in the will of God. See, David, he was there, and after he had taken his nap, he apparently wanted to take this walk, and he didn't go out to walk, but he decided that he was going to rest for some reason, that he was going to stay there. And the enemy had already planned for this to happen to David. So when he seen this woman, and he seen how beautiful that she was, and he seen that this woman was taken aback, he sent someone to find out who was this woman. Who is this woman? Who is this beautiful woman? And when she came, let's look at that third verse. He had sent someone to find out who she was, and when he was told that it was Bathsheba, the daughter of the Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David sent a message to get her. And when she came to the palace, when she came, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rite after having her menstrual period, and then she returned home. Now we see that David supposed to be the king, and he was. David began to entertain things that was not holy and those things that was not right. And because of he was king, because he had authority, because he had power, because he had rulership, because he was able to tell men and women what to do, and he seen this beautiful woman, he decided that he had to have her. And not only what he did was, it wasn't something that he didn't mean to, that he did not mean to do, but he, after he inquired of who this woman was, and he found out that this was Uriah the Hittite. This was his wife. This was another man's wife. It was not David's right to have something that belonged to another man. I need you to hear me this morning. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. I don't know who's listening to this message, but I do know that it is for someone that God need you to know that you need to stop whatever you're doing. If you're engaging in sex or you, or marrying somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband, you need to bring attention to this. You need to seek the face of God. You need to let God cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, when David seen this woman, he should have gone back unto his palace. He should have gone back. He should have been in prayer. He should have been seeking the face of God. He should have been going before the Almighty God, and he should have been telling God to lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from that which is evil. For thou art the key to power and the glory. So he needed to be talking to God. See, he should have been talking to God even when his men was out there at war. When he had sent Joab and the rest of Israel down to fight, he should have been, since he did not go, he should have been in prayer. He should have been seeking the face of God in behalf of his men. He should have been fasting. He should have been praying. And I'm quite sure if he was fasting, if he was praying, if he was seeking the face of God, I believe that if he even had gone out, even after prayer, I believe that he would have turned his head. I believe that this indignation, I believe that this desire to have somebody else's wife, or even desire, number one, to have this woman to look on her, to see the beauty on her. Yes, he was beautiful. Yes, we established that. But yet he went too far when he began to let the wickedness enter into his heart. We see here the word of God tell us that he inquired who this woman was. And they told him, it's not that they didn't tell King David who wife she was. She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And Uriah was one of the men that was in his, that was fighting for Israel. It was one of the king's men, one of King David's men that had gone out to fight for Israel, to fight for his people. And here, David decided that he would take advantage of that time. He would take advantage because of what he seen. He was going to take advantage because of the beautiful woman that she was. And he had already seen her body because the word God tell her that she was bathing. And then he wanted to know who she was. And after he found out who this woman was and knew that this woman was married, it did not stop him. What is it that's going to stop you from keeping yourself in the will of the Father? What is it that's going to stop you from doing evil? What is it that's going to stop you from transgressing against the word of God? What is it going to cause you to stop lusting and in a sinful state of mind, in a sinful state of your soul, in a sinful state of your spirit? We find here that David, after he found out that this was Uriah, the Hittite wife, David had sent a messenger to her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rite after having her minister hear it. Then she returned home. And I would like to read it also in the King James Version. It says, and David sent messenger, took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, but she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. After David had laid with her, after he had had her, then she returned home. David did not have that discipline. He would stay away from another man's wife. He did not have the honor to honor God, number one, in order to know that this is not the will of God. This is not God's plan. This is not something that God will do. See, if you can't do what God does, you don't need to do anything. If you know it is against the will of God, then you know that you are sinning. So David, he entered into this affair, and he entered in knowing full well what he was doing. And then later in that fifth verse, it says, Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant. Oh my God! This woman, she had conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." That's what the King James Version said. she found out, after she had laid with the king, after she had slept with him, then she found out that she had conceived. You see, your sin will find you out. What is done in secret will come to the light. See, God will expose our sin. God will expose those things in our life that is not like him. David did it while Uriah was out on the battlefield. He left his wife home. He left his wife there in safety because he knew that she was going to be all right. But he did not have any idea that his king was going to take his wife and to sleep with his wife. And not only did they sleep together, this thing happened wherein that this woman conceived. That is what the word of God tells us in that fifth verse. It says, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the wall prospered. See, he was never sent for Uriah before. But he decided that this is his way of getting Uriah home. So he wanted to know how was Joab doing and how the people did and how the wall was prospering. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down to the house. David's plan was not working. David's plan was falling apart. David's plan was not what he thought it was going to be. He thought that he was going to get Uriah home, and Uriah was going to be so glad to get me home that he's going to go, and he was going to go into his wife, and they were going to be so glad to see each other, and that he going to spend that time with his wife, and she was a husband until that this woman's pregnancy would be hidden. But you know what? As I said before, your sin will find you out. What you do in secret, it will come to the light. See, when Uriah, he did not go home to his wife. He slept outside of the door of the king's house with his servant of the Lord. And he did not go in. And when they had told David, and they told David that Uriah went not down unto his house. He didn't go home. David said to Uriah, comest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down to thy house? You know, you've been gone a long time, Uriah. You've been on the battlefield for a long time. You've been fighting, and it's only right for you to go home. I have sent you this mess of meat. I'll send you things that you can celebrate with your wife. Why didn't you not go home? And Uriah said unto David, listen to the man of God. And Uriah said unto David, with Ark and Israel and Judah abide in the tent, and my lord Joab and the captain and the servant of my lord are in camp in the open field. Shall I then go unto my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. I'm not going to go down, and I'm not going to have a good time, and I'm not going to make merry with my wife. I'm not going to go into my wife. You see how pure he was. You see how honest he was. You see how faithful he was. He was not going to do that. I'm not going to take this opportunity and go into my wife when Joab and all of them is at, and Judah is their intent, and here I am having a way from them, and then I'm going to go into my wife. He was not going to do this thing. And David said to Uriah, tarry here. In other words, wait. Wait here today also and tomorrow, and I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. The king David, the man after God's own heart, the man had gone into sin, the man had committed transgression, the man had forgotten who he was. It is, we have to make sure, no matter what position we have, whether we're president of the United States of America, whether we are the president of First National Bank, are we the president of a CEO of a company, that we cannot take advantage of God's people. Oh, my goodness. You cannot take advantage of even of your employees, husband, or their wives. You know how it is sometimes. You may have an employee, and that employee may be so handsome, and you want a woman may go after this man, or a man may go after this beautiful woman on the job, or whatever situation it may be. It may even be in the church house. But you need to know that God will find your sins out. God knows what you did before you did it and when you did it, and he will expose sin. So here this man is saying that he is not going to go out, he is not going to go, and he's not going to sleep, and he's not going to sleep with his wife. He's not going to do it because he didn't think it was right. I mean, we have to stand up for right and righteousness. We have to know that God, that he is God, and he is God all by himself. It's time for us to take the stand on God's word, to stand on righteousness, and it's time for us to be the men and women of God that God is calling for. David fell in his. He fell in his attempt to get Uriah to go home. See, he had already sinned. He already slept with his man, wife. The wife had gotten pregnant. David wanted him to sleep with his wife so that Uriah would think that this was his baby. My God. But look at God. When we look at this, we see that most men, if they would have come home from a war or a battle or been gone overseas for a long time, that is one of the things that they'll be looking forward to be able to sleep with their wives, to be able to love on their wives. But yet this man, he would not do it because he felt that the other men that was in the wall, they did not have that privilege to do what he was about to do. And they were out there sleeping on the ground, and yet he did not want them to be in that state. He didn't want them to have to know that he was went home and spent that time with his wife, and they're out there fighting. So we ought to have a standard. We ought to stand up for what is right. We ought to not only stand, we ought to do what is right. And David knew what was right. I believe the men and women of God, I believe that they know what is right in this day and this time. They know how to live the word of God. They know what the word of God says. And the thing about it is, doing those things that are not according to God's word. I believe that God put this word here for you this morning that you can be, that you can know that God is God. I believe that warning comes before destruction. Somebody needs to hear today. Somebody needs to know that if you're out of the will of God, if you're doing what David did, you may, as I said before, you may be a man, you may be a woman that's out of the will of God. You're in sin. You're in your transgression. You have forgot the word of God. You forgot the love of God. You withdraw from the things of God. And because you have to when you do things such as David did. I said before, I said it again, that David should have been praying. He should have been fasting. He should have been seeking the face of God. But no, he had time enough to go out on this roof, on the king's palace. And because of the fact that he was not, he didn't have that purity in heart, he began to lust after something that was not his. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you are lusting after something that is not yours. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we see here that Uriah said unto David, let's read that again, the ark in that 11th verse, and the King James Version, and Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servant of my lord are encamped in the open field. They're out there in the open field. They're in battle. They are fighting. And he said, how can he do this thing? How can I go to my house to eat and to drink? How can I go to my house and lie with my wife? He said, as thy liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. We ought to be so much like Uriah. He had committed himself that he was not going to go. He was a man of honor. And yes, it was his. If he wanted to, yes, it was his. It was his wife. So he could be able, he was able to go and lay with his wife. He was able to go because of the fact that it was his wife. But he chose not to. And that just messed up David's plan. Yet just messed up what David was going to do. And we see here in that 12th verse, it says, and David said to Uriah, tarry here today and tomorrow, and I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. So he just stayed there just as a king. So he had the answer to the king. So we're going to have an answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had the answer to him, so therefore he stayed there. Now, he didn't have to go because his intention was that he didn't want to go into his wife. He didn't want to go home because he wanted to honor the men that was on the battlefield already fighting and out there sleeping in the field. But he, when David told him to stay over, he decided that I'll stay. He wanted him to stay that day and tomorrow. And then he said, I will let him depart. I will let you depart. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at eve, he went out to lie on his bed with the servant of his Lord. But he went not down to his house. He still, I believe that God was working this thing. I believe that God was working in Uriah. I believe that even the thought and the intent of Uriah, that God was working this thing in him, that he would not even go down to his own wife. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, and he sent it by the hand of Uriah. I want you to listen to this. How far can you get out of the will of God? How far can you get out of the plan of God? How far will you go to cover up your sin? How far will you go to cover up your transgression? David had sinned before God. He had taken another man's wife. He had touched another man's wife. And he laid with her. And from that, a child was conceived in Bathsheba. And he wrote in a letter, "Set ye Uriah in the front line, in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him." Oh, my God, look at what sin will do when you're out of the will of God. David sent a letter, and Uriah didn't even know that he had his death sentence that he was carrying, his death sentence that the King David, the man that he trusted, the man that he was fighting for, the man that he was going to battle for, the man that he was proud of, he did not know that he had a death sentence, that he was taking his own death sentence in his hand. David had written a letter, and he had told him to give it to Joab. See, he said, in this word of God, it says that he was instructing Joab to put Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle. See, David was concerned about killing Uriah. Adam tried to get him home. Adam tried to get him dropped. Adam tried to lay with his wife. He didn't do it. Now, the only thing that he could think of was, I'm going to kill Uriah. I'm going to have him killed. I got to cover up my sin. I have to cover up my transgression. I have to cover up what I've done. So I'm going to call Uriah to take his own death sentence. I'm going to have him to let Joab to put him in the hottest battle and then leave him that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place. Now, not only was David sinning, he got Joab to do sin as well, because he read the letter. He knew what the king had in this letter. He knew that the king wanted Uriah dead. So therefore, he also was sinning. He also did transgress against the word of God. I knew David was king. I knew they were supposed to follow orders. But you know what? There come a time in your life you're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to say, I'm going to stand on the side of the Lord. Am I going to stand on his word? Am I going to do what men that's in high places? Am I going to do things for money and for wealth? Am I going to lose my integrity and my honor? Am I going to displease God because of the fact that I want to please men in high places? Joab had to make a decision. He had to make a decision what he was going to do. So his decision was that he was going to do like David told him to do. I'm going to do like David instructed me to do. Yes, this is one of my men too, but I'm going to kill him. I don't think that, apparently he couldn't think that much of him. David couldn't have thought that much of his own man to send him out there to put him on the hottest area, the hottest line, the hope over there where he knew where the hottest fire was. He knew he already said that to put him out there. And not only that he may be smothered and die. He wanted to make sure that he was going to die. And he told Joab to withdraw from him. In other words, don't give it too much help. Don't give it no help because I want this man dead. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city and that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that the valiant men were, and the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. and there fell some of the people of the servant of David and Uriah, the Hittite, died also. I mean, an honorable man, a man that was fighting in a war, a man that had integrity, a man that wanted to do the right thing. And yet, the king, the person that God had put, allowed to be put in his charge, David, took his life. He took his life while he was trying to fight. And when he was fighting for his country, fighting for his people, David wanted him to die. And yes, by putting him in that position, by putting him in that place, Uriah the Hittite, he did die. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the wall and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matter of the wall unto the king, and it be so that the king's wrath rise. So he knew David. He knew how David could get angry at times. So he said, if the king wrath arise, if his king is actually getting very upset, if he's displeased with what's going on in the wall, he knew how to appease him because he knew what David wanted. He said unto him, therefore approach ye in that 20th verse, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, therefore approach ye so nigh unto the city, when ye did fight, knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Amalek, the son of the Jebusite? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone, upon him from the wall, that he died in the bath? Why went ye not on the wall? Then said thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. He knew that this was going to appease David. If David's going to get mad, upset about anything that was going to happen in his wall and why he was so close to the wall. If David said you knew that you shouldn't be close to that wall, you knew what happened before to Emily, and why would you be so close to the wall? Josiah had, Joab rather, had an answer to appease David. And he said here, so the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevail against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even until the entering of the city. And then he said, and the shooter shot from off the walls. And this is what he's trying to explain to him, that the shooter, the enemy, was shooting from the wall upon the servant, upon thy servant. And some of the king's servants, some of your men, king, are dead. And thy servant, Uriah, the Hittite, is dead also. And then David said unto the messenger, thus shall thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devour one as well as the other. Make thy battle more stronger. Now he wants him to make the battle stronger. He wants him to make the battle stronger against the city and overthrow it. And also tell him to encourage himself. Encourage thyself. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done that pleased the Lord. We're getting ready to go before the Lord God Almighty. We're going to go back, and we're going to finish this up on this Friday. We're going to see that your sin will find you out. We already see that David, the word of God let us know that God was displeased with David and him. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, God, for this broadcast. Lord, to the men and women, boys and girls that are listening, God, even now, Lord, I pray even now, God, that you would touch their heart. God, those that are in sin, those that are in transgression, God, those that are sinning against the will of the Father, I pray, God, even now, God, that they will purify their heart, their mind, soul, and their spirit. I pray, God, even now, that their heart, God, will be right with you. I pray even now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you would touch them, that you would forgive them for their sin and for their transgression. I pray this even now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. This has been the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We're going to ask you to please join us on this coming Friday at 9 a.m. on the Hour of Power broadcast. God bless you, and may the grace of God keep you.